keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Podcast edition, and therefore, sorry, no music.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Yes, welcome to Queering the Air, and remember, 6-7's dead. It's now the time for 6-1. People don't believe me, Google it.
Yeah. If you know about it, then 6-1's also dead.
That's true. That's exactly right.
That's yeah. Right.
This is the way that we can kill it, folks, because as soon as we know about it, they have to migrate to something else.
I love it.
Yes.
Personally.
6-7.
Yeah, I see how much joy it brings the children. Let them have it. Let them have 6-7.
That's not what you said off air.
Yeah, well. Now that you're like, let's get rid of 6-7. Like, no. We keep it. Well,
I never wanted to get rid of it. It was just getting a little annoying. All right, so my name's Madison Moffat. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm accompanied by...
I'm Oscar. My pronouns are they, he, though I am referring to myself as she a lot. So I'm kind of like, oh, what are my pronouns? Because, you know, she's having a little time.
She certainly does. She certainly does.
So as in she, as in shh, here she comes.
Here she comes. Yes. She's here.
She's here. She's queer.
She has arrived.
She's full of existential fear.
That's yes.
She's here. She's queer. She's full of existential fear. Yeah.
Yes. Sounds oh, right. And I'm Ray, also I use he, him pronouns.
Excellent. All right. So, what's our first segment?
The worst one.
Meow, 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 meow. Yes, the best one.
That's awful.
Meow, 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 meow.
Please send your protest emails towards Madison so we can get the segment introduction changed.
And then my response will be...
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow, meow,
meow.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. No correspondence will be written into.
Such sad meows from you.
Yes, I'll be a sad meow meow. Yes, yeah, so this is meow meow.
Yeah,
meow.
Let Madison have meows just as I let the kids have 6-7.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
right.
Let people have what brings them joy.
You know what's really great?
Tell me.
I can have both. 6-7, 6-7. Oh, meow 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 meow.
No, this is too
yum.
Far.
But I also know some of the others. You see, I'm a little literate.
What, some of the other numbers?
No, well, yeah, but there have been other numbers. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I've heard of other numbers.
It was like 4-7 and that sort of nonsense.
I've heard 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, yeah, I know heaps of them.
Right. Load of numbers, all of in his brain.
Yeah, there are. Yeah,
I'm with it. I'm with the kids. Yeah. I know what's up.
Yeah, that's exactly what the people aren't with the kids say.
I'm hip with the kids. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm with the hip, hop, kick, scat, wow, with the kids, kapow, yeah.
Don't even know what that means. That's all before my time.
It's timeless, as in it never had a time. All right, so meow, 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 meow. This is the segment where we talk on not all things, partially as many things as we can. So, you know, all things minus those things we didn't have time for in the world that is queer. Just... make it mathematically accurate.
We're doing so well.
Yep.
Do you have anything that you want to bring, Mads?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, next Saturday, So I've been plugging this a bit. But next Saturday is the 8th of November, which is LGBTIQA plus Multicultural Fair Day. Yeah, so they're having a little fair, which is fair.
Where is this fair?
It's at Barry Road Community Activity Centre at 36 Barry Road, Thomastown. Thomastown.
Heck yeah. I saw a poster in the bathroom. There is parking on site.
Yes.
There are other very cool things. They like doing giveaways and have stalls and there's a drumming circle. It looks really, really fun. Yeah,
who cares about any of that? There's parking on site.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you for the highlights, Oscar. So it starts at 3:30 p.m. and ends at 7:30 p.m. You know, and Mozzies will be coming out by then anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, workshops, sustainable gardening, street art. So you still might want to go despite the street art. You know, ooh.
Controversial statement on a radical radio show.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit like me and musicals. I don't, you know, sort of musicals make me go. And people go, how do you even think of yourself as queer? And I don't know. I don't like musicals very much. Yes.
I'm offended. Get out. Personally.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm, you know,
I've been in many a musical.
Yeah.
Like, not a single musical. Like, you're against the genre of musicals.
Yeah, and yet we still get Henri. Yeah.
I know. I don't know how.
Yeah. I'll tell you. It just shits me.
Is it the singing that bothers you?
Just say what you mean.
Yeah, that's right. Just say it, for God's sake. I don't need
none of this feelings.
I don't need it in a ragtime melody. Just bloody say.
No, give it to me in a ragtime melody. Yeah. I can't handle emotions.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Give me the pricey. Give me the executive summary. Yeah, there's going to be recycled fashion, African drumming. Not like that. Giveaways. And food catered by Nina's Cucina. Nah. So I think, you know, that's going to be pretty great.
That sounds really nice.
Loving the, you know, the Hispanic foods.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Nina's Cucina.
Cucina?
Cucina.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Cucina. Cucina.
Casino?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think. No, I think the C is harder. Okay. I think so. Anyway, I don't know.
No one in the room here knows for sure.
I used to work in a Mexican restaurant, right? In the 1980s. Well, I was about to say the opposite, and then found out gradually over the decades that we were saying it wrong. So there you go. It's just the way it is. Apologies all around, you know. And info stores. Info stalls, rather, which is pretty important. So, you know, it's also an information exchange.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. And indeed, you know, what I remember the most about last year's was the networking. Just, you know, just talking about people would talk with me about what they were doing and, you know, I'd talk about what I was doing and how that might intermingle. And that did result in a few elements of Queer in the Air, you know, over the preceding year. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yes.
Like, that's the beautiful thing about getting a bunch of people in a room, right? Mm. Like, the networking like, and whatever beautiful things bloom from that.
Yeah, it's either that or a cage fight. Yeah.
Mm. Both are good.
Both are good. Both are exchanges.
Both are exchanges. Yes, I amend my comment.
But I'm pretty sure that the LGBTIQA plus Multicultural Fair Day, on the other hand, will be one of those more positive style exchanges.
Yeah.
So any cage fighting will be done with love and honour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you got anything?
Well, I've got the entire month of November.
Yes.
Which is Trans Month.
It is.
TGV are promoting, hosting a bunch of different events.
Yes.
I'm going to just tell you to go to transmonth.org.au because there is so many things on there to...
Absolutely.
To plug, but I specifically want to talk about the Gender Revel Gala, which is on Friday the 7th.
Yes.
That's coming up. That I've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, except for the Revel Gala 2025.
Well, I wasn't there.
2024.
Yeah, 2020, the year of our Lord, yeah. 2024.
Ah, there. Yeah. I went.
Tell me more.
It was good, but I think that, you know, one thing I am going to call out about this gala, as participants, we need to, I think, have more decorum. So I say this because, you know, I'm going to side with the artists. I'm going to side with performers, you know, who put their heart and soul into presenting. And, you know, for them, it would have obviously been seen as a special gig, you know, to be doing something like the Revel Gala. And unfortunately, myself and very few people, I suppose my personality is more compliant in some ways, you know, these are the rules. We're supposed to be sitting down and watching the acts, you know, so that's what I did. And I'm not expecting that of everyone, but, you know, it was a bit much to see these people that not only were these people performing on stage trying to entertain us and not being really looked at by this crowd, but the crowd were like at the bar and at various areas of the venue talking so loudly you could hardly hear the act, you know. And so I think, hey, this year, how about we actually, you know, pay some credence to the efforts that are being made, you know, by performers and entertainers to be an important part of, you know, the event and part of the celebration. Yeah, so that's something I want to sort of call out because, yeah, you know, I'm a bit of an activist, so, you know, I don't want to put a downer on things. In fact, I'm trying to say let's make it really great, including for those who put their heart and soul into entertaining us.
Yeah, I don't see that as a downer. Yeah, at
good.
All.
Good.
you're talking about your experience.
You know what I'm like.
It's important to you.
You know what I mean. You know what I'm like. I mean, contrary to what might appear to people sometimes, I actually do care what people think, you know, and how people feel. I don't want to be upsetting people. But, yeah, this is important to me, yeah.
Yeah, well, like...
That's so fair.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like...
But, you know, I'm a mama bear, so I don't...
Yeah, you're like, give people the respect if they're doing their thing, because it's just similar to the T4T showcase thing, yeah, where it was like very nice to have to sit down and watch, like, that space existing for that kind of performance was like really, really awesome to see. So I'm curious to see how that will translate into a space like the Gender Revel Gala and that kind of event.
Yeah.
Because I can see, I can see like the difficulty there.
Yeah. They also did run out of food very quickly.
Well, that's the first thing that should have come out your mouth.
Well, the thing is, and some people, you know, they pay quite a bit. So again, this is, you know, not wanting to be Debbie Downer, but, you know, I am an activist, right? I know that many people who could not afford, you know, necessarily, you know, to be splashing out, did splash out on a ticket on the understanding that they would have food, you know, and it ran out really quickly. I mean, most people didn't get a chance, you know. Mm. But I happen to know from the inside, you know, because people chat to me. Foolish people chat to me.
Not anymore, not for much longer.
No, well, I don't know, because I think this is actually also being fair to TGV. I know that there was, in fact, let's say, quizzitive challenges issued by some staff at TGV, including managerial staff, to the caterers, you know. Is this going to be enough food, you know? Mm. And the caterers assuring them, yes, it will be enough food. So hopefully TGV, you know, have learnt a lesson, which, you know, is the type of lesson that if you're relatively new to running huge events, you know, lesson learned, and, you know, not something necessarily to slap somebody for not having learnt before, because, you know, running huge events is tough.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's actually a tough gig. But hey, TGV, make sure that you've, you know, but challenged your caterers this time around this, because a lot of people paid money and couldn't eat.
Yeah, what I'm kind of thinking about as you're telling me this, because at first I was like, you know, news here, old woman yells at cloud about food, but it's like...
Where's the soup? Where's the soup?
But like food, especially like in this, you know, financial crisis, yes, among our community, like food is so scarce to begin with, and to, yeah, spend that money that we don't have already,
yeah,
to go somewhere where, like... Having leftovers is like a priority.
That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Like, you know you've been successful when it comes to event catering if there's a small amount of food you're trying to give away.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you've hit the good spot, the sweet spot.
Yeah, and like that's where we're at. That is really an important point.
Yeah.
We're not eating. We are not eating, and we need to be fed.
And I've been to other queer events, where food has been left over, and you know what ends up happening? You just know that many of the people who are taking it home right, that actively helped out their home economy for the next couple of days. Tight home economy. So I mean it when I say, you know, that's the success level. You want people who actually might do with some, you know, a bit of help on the home economy side, being able to take some of it home.
Well, like, I've done that myself. Like, yeah, that has allowed me to eat meals at some points in my life.
Yeah, at times when you might otherwise have to really scrimp and go hungry.
Yeah, and, like, especially, this isn't queer specific, but as a student, the classic, you go to every opening to get the canapes and the glass of champagne because that's the only time you'll eat unless it's, you know, instant noodles.
Love a good instant noodle.
We love a little mac and cheese.
We do.
Anyway.
Yeah, actors are the same. Really, you know, they go to launches and everything that they're sort of invited to because, you know, the people they know. And, yeah, they're really there just to raid the buffet. They're famous for it. It's great. All right. Anything else from you?
I'm just seeing.
I'll talk about Art Express then. Art Express, of course, are a monthly arts do. At the Affirmation Station, where for an hour and a half, you know, you get together and do some arty, crafty stuff, and normally with a prompt. But what I'm wanting to plug particularly this time is, as I did last week, that the fact that on Tuesday the 18th of November, which is coming up, there is the Art Express zine launch, which, you know, as I had waxed lyrically, you know, in previous weeks, is part of the blossoms that I see blooming in the trans zine world from NFPs, you know, and not-for-profits and or, you know, community art and creativity pursuits. You know?
Speaking of trans zines,
yes,
I this is my segue.
Yeah, go for it.
I went to a queer space youth event recently, and they were teaching us how to make zines.
Yes, yes,
and it was very fun, and I had a great time, and I will probably go back. And
where
to
was
do
it?
Other queer space youth on Drummond Street.
Oh yeah, cool. Oh yeah.
And this is the first event of this kind that you'd been to before.
Yeah, it is.
Now,
yeah.
Drummond Street Services also have a zine which has output of some kind or another from their youth creators.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find out more about that. Yeah.
We have a man on the ground right here.
Excellent. Go for it, Ray.
Press on.
Please do come back next week with a little bit of info. Yeah.
I shall.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, because I'm aware of it, you know.
Yeah.
And they've also been, I've just haven't gotten around to doing it, but they have also, by the way, offered to, for instance, have the Trans Creator zine, you know, feature in their lobby. So, you know, I say let's do that. Let's all be cross-promoting what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love, like, the zine economy in Melbourne. Like, it's such a nice space.
Yeah.
And I haven't really seen it anywhere else in other parts of the country quite like this.
No. Well, hopefully it will spring up in Brisbane, for as I said, you know, last week, there's a trans, what was it called? The Transitory Rag.
Yeah.
So trans, trans-rag.com is their website. It's web enabled. And yeah, it's a Meanjin, that is Brisbane based. Or more to the point, Brisbane, that is Meanjin-based, zine, electronic zine. And it celebrates Australian transgender creativity, I believe is the phrase that they use.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so, you know.
Maybe we'll start seeing that kind of thing pop up in Perth as well in the lead up to the gay games.
Yeah, and gay Sydney games. Maybe, you know, for other reasons, yeah.
The gay games.
The gay games.
Gay games. Perth just got the Gay Games, which is
in
2030. It's
gay
a
games,
sports.
Gay Games.
Let me pretend like, give me a second
like
so I can
six,
pretend
seven,
like I know
it?
What I'm talking about.
It's like 6-7, except, you know, Gay Games, Gay Games. Okay, and I'll finish this whole thing about zine launch. So I'm not sure exactly how much info I gave. So on Tuesday the 18th of November from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time in the year of our Lord 2025. You know, will be Art Express's zine launch at the Affirmation Station. Go zines!
We love a zine.
We do love a zine.
So, gay games. Yes. It's the Olympics, except gay.
What makes it gay?
It's all, like, LGBTQI plus people. It's a sport and culture event.
Yeah.
It's in Spain next year. And then it's every 4 years like the Olympics.
Okay.
So 2030. It'll be here. It'll be ours.
To steal.
For us.
For us only?
For people around the world who want to come and hang out, but it'll be at our house. Oh, we're okay. Throwing the party.
Okay.
Us two personally, yes. The three of us in the studio.
Not me.
So you're not allowed. You're not invited.
I don't want to. Run. I'll go to the party, but I'm not running the bloody party.
I'll host.
Good.
Okay, great.
Good.
I'll be behind the bar.
Everybody?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
To quote Oscar's Grindr page, I'll host.
You heard it here first.
Okay. All right.
All right. Hang on, Maddie. 6'7", 6'7".
What does it mean?
So, anything else? Because we can wrap it up.
I can't. I have to. 6'9".
What's 6'9"?
Maybe.
No, good on you.
We'll chat about it.
No. Yeah. Daddy, what's 6'9"? I'll show you later.
No,
as in like, Daddy, as in Zaddy, Daddy, Zaddy, not as in bloody, you know.
No.
What's a Zaddy, Daddy?
Do you not know what a Zaddy is?
I don't know what a Zaddy is.
We'll talk later.
Is it like a? yeah, we've got some knowledge to exchange,
and other, amongst other things. So there's actually also going to be as part of the Melbourne Film Festival. I just think this is great because it combines one of my two favourite things. And the clue is in the title. It's a film called Queer as Punk. So there you go. There's out of the three words there, only one of them isn't one of my favourite words. I don't really care about the word as, you know. As, out. Should have just called it Queer Punk instead of Queer as Punk.
Ooh.
But anyway.
Yeah,
it's the director is Yuen Chen. It's from Malaysia, and it's basically this band called Shdiam. I think I'm pronouncing that right, but it's Malay for shut up. Mm. And they're a queer punk band. It's basically the backdrop of the whole story is how, you know, living in a state that, you know, is, you know, barely democratic in many ways, particularly with regards to, you know, queer rights and things like that. You still got this band struggling up, you know, facing it against the status quo. And I'm going to play for 2 minutes, because it only lasts that long, a track called Sugar Daddy. Sugar Daddy, as in SYUGADADDY. Sugar Daddy, speaking of daddies. And yes, this is Shdiam. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the apartheid-free zone movement.
Yes. So, last but not least, so that was, you know, that was Sugar Daddy. Sugar Daddy. Mm.
Sugar Daddy.
So, yeah, which I'm quite sure that's what it means. And, yes, that's the Queer as Punk. It's a film from the Melbourne, was it, Queer Film Festival. Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Melbourne what, sorry?
Queer Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
I'll take it. Yeah.
Kitty Obsidian won the what was it exactly? It was the Miss First Nations. Yeah. Did you know about this?
I did know about this.
Yeah. Congratulations, Kitty.
Do you know about Kitty Obsidian?
Do you know about Kitty?
I don't know about Kitty.
Kitty.
School.
Kitty is just wonderful.
Okay.
We did 3CR via Transcreator Radio a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. a full hour with Kitty as our guest. I thoroughly recommend. Sex educator, wonderful performer, including a drag performer, and all-round community advocate and activist, hence the deserved title of Miss First Nations.
Hell yeah.
So I just want to extend my love to Kitty, you know, as Kitty extends their love to everyone else. I know, because I've seen it. I've witnessed it.
Witness the love.
Yep, Kitty. Kitty is the love, indeed. So, yeah, I thought that that would be a nice little wrap-up of... Meow 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 meow. I've turned off the mics of everyone else, so they can't bitch about this. And I just get to enjoy it. Meow. Turned off your mics. I'll turn it back on now.
How dare you?
I've got the panel. How do I dare? With ease. With ease. So yeah, so that was meow, 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 meow.
It was.
Thank you all for participating. And thanks to all the listeners out there. This is 3CR, 855 AM on the radio dial. We're available also on digital radio. That's how I listen to it these days, which is pretty cool. And online, 3cr.org.au, you can listen either live or you can go to the podcast pages and listen to your favourite 3CR show via podcast on demand.
Indeed.
Yes. So.
Let me tell you about something I did over the weekend.
Yes.
I went to a conference because he does love
you
to invite himself.
You traded to the cause. You actually went.
I did. I did actually go. I did. We'll get into this.
We will. We will.
But yeah, I went to the Better Together conference, which is a national LGBTQIA plus conference.
Brought to you by Hot Mess.
Hot mess. It was certainly a thing that happened.
Yes.
I had a really good time, but like actually being there was delightful. It being a thing to go to, not great.
but you engage. This is one of the things you engage, if I may say, with most things with joy. So, you know, and I love that. Yeah. And, you know, it would surely be the only way that you would have been able to actually last.
Well, yeah, it ended up being. So for context, in the week. In the lead up to the event, it was in Adelaide.
Yes, for those who aren't aware, because you know some aren't. Yeah.
Because why would you be aware?
Why would you make yourself aware if you were aware enough to avoid it for starters? Because it was a hot mess.
So it's a lot of like queer organisations meeting up together and having what the conference terms brave conversations.
Yeah, which is fine in itself.
Yeah, and in the lead up. To the conference, they created a podcast called Brave Conversations, where each episode featured a different individual. And
which is fine in itself.
Yeah. And one of these episodes featured like a TERF. Like, I'm just going to say it.
Which completely sucked.
Yeah. So it was it was a cis gay guy being like...
Let's not mention the name, but people will know.
People can find out.
Yeah.
Essentially saying that, like, kids shouldn't have access to gender-affirming care or puberty blockers.
Careful. What they were saying was that, you know, we should not die on that hill.
Yes, specifically
what
hills are worth dying for.
Yes.
And apparently none of the ones involving trans people.
Oh, Oscar!
Yeah. Like,
not quite, but yes. But you know, nice little intro.
Yes.
Specifically, what were the hills that we want to die for? Apparently. Go further.
I'll give you another go.
See where the chicken thing comes from?
Beautiful.
No, yeah, but there were very specific things, and you know, one of them was, you know, the
gender affirming care for children, trans athletes in sports, trans people, trans women in women's being allowed in women's spaces.
Yes, yeah, specifically bathrooms.
Not any women's space.
Oh, yeah, but my understanding is that they also focus specifically on talking about the bathrooms debate, so-called debate.
I don't remember, because I listened to the podcast before they took it down.
Okay, good.
So I don't remember bathroom specifically, but the time of listening wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be talking about this on the radio later.
No.
But now I can't hear it because it's
gone. But that is interesting, right? Because it could have been just spaces.
It ends up
being reported in secondary sources as bathrooms. So that's interesting. That could be the case.
That's my recollection.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and also talking about the cast report, which... You know, is a pile of garbage.
And my understanding was it was kind of like, you know, exhibit number one, Your Honour.
Yeah.
The cast report.
It's like, well, if you'd refer to the cast report, all of what I'm saying is, like, based in research. And it's like, well, do your research.
And we won't mention the name of the organisation, but they are, you know, apparently the CEO... of, you know, what is it actually, I never heard of it before myself, and I'm not just being, you know, trying to be bitchy. I am bitchy, naturally, but, you know, I'm not specifically trying to be here. I hadn't heard of it.
Mm.
And I've spoken to a number of other, you know, people within the queer community. They also said they hadn't heard of it until now. Apparently it's global. So, this thing, and and that's why they're all invited on, apparently. And the whole crux of it was meant to be, you know, how do we appeal to, you know, those that we have lost in the wider community, not LGBT community, the wider mainstream community, because we've lost them when it comes to, you know, some of the talking points. So how do we bring them back in by deciding which hills are not worth dying on?
Yeah. And this is,
I
went to the conference last year and this person was there and spoke and was quite problematic.
Oh, okay. I didn't get that context. Okay. That's interesting.
That wasn't reported anywhere that I saw at the time, but it was definitely conversations that I was part of in that conference, being like, can you believe that this was just said?
Yeah,
and this was someone that, you know, had been flown in from Berlin, I think, for the conference to be specifically platformed, and again, like, has been one of the six episodes, one of those episodes were dedicated entirely to this person. So like, why is the choice to continually platform this perspective
at this
point?
And part of what's really astounding about this is that the podcast had actually been up since late August and didn't get much of a stir until quite recently. Yeah, and but there had been apparently quite a lot of discussions in the background, you know, in the halls of queer power about, hey, look, you really do need to take this down. And there has been quotes attributable to CEO of Drummond Street Services, who essentially described a conversation where, by their description, the response from the Equality Project seemed to be more focused on having brave conversations and talking in terms of, you know, the centre, you know, and working out how we can draw in the centre rather than thinking in terms of the harm that might have been done, you know, to the trans community. And so, apparently, following that discussion, it was decided by Drummond Street Services and possibly Queer Space. I'm not sure what Queer Space's connection to Drummond Street formally is, so I shouldn't talk out of turn. But anyway, you know, that very shortly afterwards, they pulled out of the Better Together conference altogether.
They were a major sponsor of the conference, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, and they...
So I give that context because there's what's being done and then there's actually been some background discussion that has been publicly spoken about that shows that, no, this wasn't just some minor, this wasn't some minor mishap with a tragic result.
Yeah, can I read out some of this statement?
Please.
So this is, you can find this, it's still up on the Queer Space Drummond Street Instagram. I'm just going to read the last... few bits. The presenters have justified their rhetoric as a brave conversation. However, there's nothing brave about contributing to harmful and inaccurate information about the trans community.
Yeah.
A group which is so often spoken about, undermined and criticized, but rarely spoken with, believed or validated.
Yes.
We raised our concerns with the Equality Project, and due to their lack of an appropriate response, we gave our staff the option to withdraw from presenting at this year's conference. Some have chosen to do so. Some, including our Q Hub staff, have decided to continue with their planned presentation as an act of resistance against this rhetoric.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm. So a diversity within the group.
Yes. Mm. Which is...
Yeah, which is fair.
Yeah. So these are like a very powerful terms that this is kind of being denounced. TGV also withdrew. There were quite
TGV also specifically released, say on Instagram, I know, but probably the other platforms, but I saw it on Instagram, you know, like a 6 or 7 part slide which presented myth and truth. And it was very pointedly addressing those TERF talking points that had been raised in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they are very direct and, you know, very much like, just like Drummond Street Services, you know, helpful in being, you know, quite concise in what their concerns were.
Yeah. And yeah, so they're two of the major organizations that pulled out, but there were many others among. So the actual, because this happened so soon to the actual conference time itself, it was kind of an organizational hot mess.
Right.
The first talk that I tried to go to, it was someone that they had expected to show up and then didn't show up and then they should have known wasn't coming.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and that's because, you know, they actually had a connection to one of the organisations that had pulled out.
Yeah. So, and there was...
My understanding also, I mean, you know, I'm going to get out there a little bit further. My understanding is that what was said also insinuated that this would have been, you know, that there was no real explanation.
No, it was, we don't think this person's shown up, they haven't registered. Seemed like they were kind of blaming the lack of professionalism of this presenter.
Which is really outrageous.
Which is,
We're not going to mention who it was and which organisation, but let's just suffice to say it's a bit ridiculous to be scratching your head wondering why they hadn't shown.
Mm.
Yeah, and then pretending that somehow this is something that couldn't have been expected or anticipated by organisers.
Yeah, and this happened repeatedly through, like, multiple presentations where, there'd be a room full of people and be like, oh, why isn't the presenter here? I don't know.
Yeah, oh, see, I didn't even know that it happened multiple times.
Yeah.
See, I'm even more incensed now.
Yeah. So...
Wow.
It was... The lovely thing, let me tell you something wonderful that happened.
Tell us something wonderful.
Everyone was angry about it.
Yeah.
Everyone was so pissed. So being able to be there and have, like, the people who did present, like, most people did address this and discuss why they chose to come despite what had happened.
And my understanding is a lot of it was about resistance.
Yes, exactly. And there was a lot of talk about, like, nothing about us without us. And wanting to come to support trans people who did choose to attend.
Yes.
Of which I am one.
One. Boo.
Yeah, traitor. Just me. It was just me. But it was really lovely being able to be like, you know, I was scared. Yes. I was talking with people about saying I was scared because I didn't know who was going to show up. I didn't know if it was just going to be people who agreed with these views and I would be, you know.
So, like, if the boycott had been ultimately, you know, 100% successful, you'd have been there on your own. Quite vulnerable. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it was really reassuring throughout the 2 days to have so many people express their support, either directly to me or through their, like, addressing of what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I had so many hugs from so many people. It was so delightful. And, like... Yeah.
You would have loved that.
I do. I love a hug. I love a little cuddle.
Yeah. More cuddles for me, says Oscar.
But, yeah, so I have a lot of feelings about it.
Yeah, yeah. See, my key thing here, you know... And I'm not suggesting that this is the debate, but, you know, there's sort of hints of it. I don't think the question here is, are the Equality Project a bunch of so-and-sos, right? I don't think that is the issue, you know. I think the issue here is, given what has happened, does the Equality Project, have they displayed that they have the qualities that are necessary to continue in the highly influential way that they have to lead dialogue that represents our community to the wider, including to the wider mainstream media and public. And I think that, you know, there was a lot of talk, from what I understand, about, oh, you know, we what happened was bad, but we can't just throw this in the bin because, you know, this conference, you know, is too important, and, you know, it's an opportunity where we all get together and talk. And, you know, there was even comments, and, you know, I'm not saying this as a negative comment towards the commissioner, although, you know, I have my views. But, you know, I do like Joe Ball interpersonally. But, for instance, Joe Ball did talk about why they were going to be there and the topic that they had chosen and the importance of that topic. And then I believe that in two short sentences, they then said, you know, that this is important. The discussion must be had. And my question is, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That, you know, topic, which was about, you know, social media and internet violence, you know, towards queer people. Yes, that conversation has to be had. But why does it have to be done there? Why do we have to continue, you know, why do we continue to have, you know, why would we continue necessarily to have this forum that is run, you know, by people who, you know, they themselves have admitted there are things they now need to learn. You know, really? Okay, so the Equality Project, given the history and where they have placed themselves within the social politic as leaders for our broader community, need to understand that TERF talking points aren't welcome?
Mm.
These are the people we want taking a leading role within our community? Now, with all due respect, and I actually like Jason, for instance. I've met Jason face to face. Lovely guy, right? But I'm sorry, you know, if you're going to produce this type of material and then you're going to make an active decision knowing what that material says to publish it, right? And if you're then going to talk in terms of your need to learn lessons from this, that's fine. You can learn lessons from the backbenchers, right? Because I don't want our leadership within our community to be so ill-informed that they're capable of a drastic, serious, harmful mistake like this.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
Like, I agree with you. Something that I found just sort of silly and frustrating as well as a choice made by the CEO.
Yep.
Was his opening plenary speech was kind of, you know, oops, we all make mistakes.
Yeah, well, we do.
But, you know, emphasizing this importance of having these brave conversations and then being absolutely nowhere to be found throughout the entire conference, not having right. a single conversation with anybody.
Yeah. Now, can I say this whole thing about brave conversations? I love a brave conversation myself, okay? There is nothing brave about TERF talking points. No. There's nothing smart about it. There's nothing about it we need to be informed by. I could tell you, I could sit in front of you, Oscar, with a beer and bore you absolutely crapless for the next 2 hours about what TERF say. I know all the talking points. Mm. I don't need to learn what these talking points are. I don't need to know, you know, and I don't need to hear it from someone who claims to be a leader, you know, in the queer community, in a show that's produced by someone else who claims to be a leader in the queer community.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need that. I know. There was no conversation necessary. I could have sat there and with a tone more fitting to a queer presenter, explain those talking points.
Yeah.
I didn't need to hear it from the source.
It's been incredibly revealing of, like, the state of things.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, if I tuned into Four Corners, you know, mm-hmm. and I wondered because, oh, that's interesting. I actually do want to learn about the alt-right, you know, and then it's just endless clips of bloody Hitler and Goering, you know, and what they had to say about, you know, the social politics of 1930s Europe. I don't want to hear it. I know all about it,
mm-hmm.
you know. I don't need to go to the source. If they were going to have a conversation about this, it should not have been just giving, you know, of a platform to the source.
Mm.
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 Hot take.
No need to platform it.
No need to platform it.
No, the even if it is something that is going to be discussed, have a discussion. There wasn't even a discussion.
No. Or well, to be fair, it was, you know, intended to be a series of interviews, the podcast.
Yeah, the claim of no journalistic intent.
Right, so now, this is really annoying too, you know, for me, you know. That's just being clever, right? Because, I'm sorry, you are conducting journalism,
mm-hmm.
right? A very interesting point was raised once by someone who was part of The Chaser. You remember The Chaser,
mm-hmm.
right? And they said that, you know, being a journalist is not actually really a thing, right? It's more that there is this thing called journalism, okay? And although around the peripheries you can debate sometimes whether something is or is not journalism, most of the time you can see something and you know if it's journalism or not, right? That was journalism.
So it's I don't know much about journalism, but I know what I like.
But I know what I like. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's a bit like that. But, you know, to say, you know, there's something about this being non-journalistic, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
The whole framework couldn't have been more mainstream journalism if you tried.
Yeah.
Right?
Very disappointing. Very deliberate and...
Yeah, and then the talking points following it, you know, could have come straight out of Media Watch. You know, we asked Channel 7, you know, to comment, and this is what they said. You know, it could have come straight out of the mouths of these producers who, after the fact, tried to defend the indefensible. Mm. You know, oh, well, you know, we were trying to do something new, and, you know, it's like, what you really mean by that is that you broke rules because you thought, you know, we won't go into what they thought, but, you know, you broke rules and now you want to portray that as somehow as presenting something new. No, I'm sorry. You know, that just doesn't cut it here.
Yeah.
I'm all upset now.
Yeah, cranky. Well, it was it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing to be going into that. So that's what I went into.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so
glad you did, though. You know, jokes aside about you being a traitor and whatnot, I'm really, really glad that you did and that you've shared the experience with us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm so brave.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Oscar. You're so brave.
But yeah, it was. I'm glad I was there. I'd very much like considered not being there, but making the connections. Like, there are people, the people in the room really care. That room should be elsewhere, managed by different people.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like,
yeah, well, that's a thing. So, and yeah, you know, that doesn't mean they can't be involved. You know, the whole community should be involved. So I'm not saying these people need to be, you know, thrown out of the community. No one's saying that, by the way, and I don't think anyone would. Anyone who knows Jason, for instance, ever met him interpersonally, would probably never actually say that. But they would probably say to the backbenchers with you, given what's just happened, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't think any of this comes down to, like, any personal...
Not at all.
You know.
In fact, you know, they've tried to professionally defend it.
Mm.
And I am trying my best to professionally refute that. You know, I think that a reckoning is needed.
Yeah.
But, you know, a tactful, professional, fair reckoning is needed here.
Yeah. And also, like, I was personally hurt. Like, I wasn't professionally, like, this really tore me up.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like, the impact that this has... Because a lot of it was talking about on this professional level, organization to organization. You've got these organizations, you know, pulling out of this conference. But as on a personal level,
yes,
having this kind of rhetoric
spewed
in a place that I was so excited to be,
yeah,
so looking forward to, it was a little holiday for me.
Yeah, I was kicking myself about the fact that I couldn't get it together to join you. And then, you know, then you'd let me know about this and it's like, oh, thank God Oscar can take the kick for me.
Yeah, like I have the privilege to have a car. I drove down in a night and I slept in my car for 3 days, 4 days.
There is another thing to this. Can I cut in there?
Yeah, go.
You know, because that's another thing, you know, there are people and conversations I've had from, you know, well-intended conversations about this also being a far more open forum. You know, than other forums. And I agree with that. But there also just seems to be this sense in what some people have said, and I've spoken to a few people about, how this is something that anyone can go to. And that's not true. In fact, on two occasions, or maybe one occasion, I think the other one might have been cancelled or something, but my memory states that knows that on at least one occasion, and perhaps on two occasions, this was going to be held and was and or was held at Port Douglas. The Queensland resort town of Port Douglas, you know.
A correction is needed here. So it seems that my recollection is a little muddled. The Better Together conference for 2022 was cancelled, and it was going to be in a remote area of Queensland. It was specifically going to be at the Cairns Exhibition Centre. Now, why on earth did poor old Maddie think that somehow this was being held in Port Douglas? Probably because it's within the Douglas Shire Council. So there you go. One of the hazards of sharing information live. You can get things wrong. And, you know, very much ironically, given the topic of today's discussion, very important to own up to that when one is wrong. So apologies for what was said live. It was, in fact, being held at the Douglas Shire Council area, specifically at the Cairns Convention Centre.
Yeah. Not exactly accessible. But even Adelaide, you know, I mean, you went to considerable lengths, you know, including sleep in your car, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
Giving me your cat for
yeah.
a week.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Well, there we go, you know.
That was great fun.
So this report was also brought to you by Ray with regards to the fact that he looked after Oscar's cat.
Yep.
You know,
Crypto was the best.
Send me lots of videos. Thank yeah. you so much.
So, you know,
moral support while it was so sad.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not the least privileged of people in the community, you know, but we would have been able to go probably. So many other people within our queer community could not possibly do what would be necessary to do the flight or the drive to wherever it is they've decided they're going to have it somewhere in Australia this time.
Absolutely. Or afford the even ridiculous amount, like hundreds of dollars for even the scholarship prices.
Yeah. So, you know, there has been some sort of chat around that as well about, you know, an open opportunity for all to get together. Not everyone.
No.
Exactly.
Not everyone.
Not everyone. And I also want to note there were far fewer people than I would have expected, but also a much older skewed crowd.
Yeah.
Like, much, like there were barely any young people.
It is, regardless of intent, it is a gathering of the queer elite by and large.
Yeah.
Including those who probably wouldn't see themselves that way. And, you know, I see them that way in part because of my radical lens, you know, of how I see things. But they are part of the elite. In as much as, you know, in part that they have the resources to go, you know, but secondly, because of the organisations they represent.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And the flip side to that is there are organisations, you know, that also do a lot for our community, but that there lies the rub within neoliberalism. Those organisations who do the most to help our community often have to behave in ways that are synonymous with the expectations of neoliberal governance and society. And so, I think that a gathering like Better Together and what it actually constitutes in terms of the majority of its participants shows that a queer elite has formed.
Mm.
And this, I think, is also part of why what's happened with the blog has occurred, because it's possible for people who, frankly, should know a darn sight more than they do end up being able to, run conferences and produce blogs in support of those conferences that end up having material like this in it because they are so ill-informed.
Yeah.
It's the product of elitism.
Yes, it is.
And on that note, You've been listening to the Queering the Air. We're on 3CR 855 AM on the radio dial. We're both available on digital radio also and online through 3cr.org.au. And you can listen to your favourite 3CR program, which of course is Queering the Air, on the respective podcast page. Thank you all. Thank you very, very much for your contribution today, Oscar. Brave, brave boy that you are.
Thank you. And a good 6-7 to you too.
6-7. 6-1. And thank you very much for your contribution, Ray, too.
For looking after the cat, mostly.
Yes, and looking after the cat. Community support.
Yes, indeed. Right. And now we're going to listen to, which one? We'll listen to Roll with the Punches. And Roll with the Punches is by a band that no less is called Wild at Oscar or something. What's it called?
Nailed it.
Nailed it. What's this bloody band called?
Is it Oscar in the Wild? I don't know. You were telling me earlier.
Oscar at Wild. Oscar the Wild.
Oscar the Wild.
Just like you, babes.
Just like yeah. me.
So Oscar the Wild, actually, are a group that will be supporting Akadaka. They're going to be part of the AC/DC headline at the Adelaide. Yeah. So there you go. Akadaka supporting band, queer band, Oscar the Wild, with Roll with the Punches. See you next week. As this is the podcast version, this music is not part of the recording.